Jai Om Vishnu.
Ki
Jai.
Jai Om Vishnu Maharaj Paramahamsa Hari Brahma Nara Chaya Jai. Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki
Jai.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopagopa Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopagopa Kunda
Jai.
Vrindavan Dham Ki
Jai.
Navri Dham Ki
Jai.
Gangamai Ki
Jai.
Gopanamai Ki
Jai.
Bhakti Devi Ki
Jai.
Tulasi Devi Ki
Jai.
Bhaktavrinda ki Gaur Premananda. All glories to the
Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru. All glories to Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chapter 7, Text 7, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Is this being recorded? No?
Yes.
Yasyam.
Yasyam.
Vai.
Vai.
Shuyamanayam.
Shuyamanayam.
Krishne.
Krishne.
Parama.
Parama.
Purushe,
Purushe,
Bhaktihi,
Bhaktihi,
Utpadyate,
Utpadyate,
Pungsaha,
Pungsaha,
Shoka,
Shoka,
Moha,
Moha,
Bhaya,
Bhaya,
Apaha,
Apaha,
Yasyam Vaishuyamanayam,
Yasyam Vaishuyamanayam,
Krishne, Parama Purushe,
Krishne,
Bhaktir utpadyate pungsa.
Bhaktir utpadyate pungsa.
Shoka moha bhaya paha.
Shoka moha bhaya paha.
Yasyam vai shuyamanayam.
Yasyam vai shuyamanayam.
Krishne parama purushe.
Krishne parama purushe.
Bhaktir utpadyate pungsa.
Bhakti
moha bhaya paha.
Shoka moha bhaya paha.
Yasyam vai shuryamanaya.
Yasyam vai shuryamanaya.
Krishne parama purushe.
Krishne parama purushe.
Bhakti utpadyate pumsa.
Bhakti utpadyate pumsa.
Yasyam Vaishuryamanayam.
Yasyam Vaishuryamanayam.
Vishne Param
Devotional service.
Utpadyate.
Sprout up. Pungsaha.
Of the living being.
Shoka.
Lamentation.
Moha.
Illusion.
Bhaya.
Fearfulness.
Abaha.
That which extinguishes.
Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. Report. There are various senses of which the ear is the most effective. This sense works even when a man is deep asleep. One can protect himself from the hands of an enemy while awake, but while asleep one is protected by the ear only. The importance of hearing is mentioned here in connection with attaining the highest perfection of life, namely, getting free from three material pangs. Everyone is full of lamentation at every moment. He is after the mirage of illusory things, and he is always afraid of his supposed enemy. These are the primary symptoms of material disease. And it is definitely suggested herein that simply by hearing the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one gets attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And as soon as this is effected, the symptoms of the material diseases disappear. Srila Vyasadeva saw the all-perfect personality of Godhead, and in this statement, the all-perfect personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna is clearly confirmed. The ultimate result of devotional service is to develop genuine love for the Supreme Personality. Love is a word which is often used in relation with man and woman. And love is the only word that can be properly used to indicate the relation between Lord Krishna and the living entities. The living entities are mentioned as Prakriti in the Bhagavad Gita. And in Sanskrit, Prakriti is a feminine object. The Lord is always described as the Paramapurusha, or the Supreme Male Personality. Thus, the affection between the Lord and the living entities is something like that between the male and the female. Therefore, the term love of Godhead is quite appropriate. Loving devotional service to the Lord begins with hearing about the Lord. There is no difference between the Lord and the subject matter heard about him. The Lord is absolute in all respects, and thus there is no difference between him and the subject matter heard about him. Therefore, hearing about him means immediate contact with him by the process of vibration of the transcendental sound. And the transcendental sound is so effective that it acts at once by removing all material affections mentioned above. As mentioned before, a living entity develops a sort of complexity by material association and the illusory engagement of the material body is accepted as an actual fact. Under such false complexity, the living beings under different categories of life become illusioned in different ways. Even in the most developed stage of human life, the same illusion prevails in the form of many isms and divides the loving relation with the Lord, and thereby divides the loving relation between man and man. By hearing the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, this false complexity of materialism is removed, and real peace in society begins, which politicians aspire for so eagerly in so many political situations. The politicians want a peaceful situation between man and man, and nation, but at the same time, because of too much attachment for material domination, there is illusion and fearfulness. Therefore, the politicians' peace conferences cannot bring about peace in society. It can only be done by hearing the subject matter described in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The foolish politicians may go on holding peace and summit conferences for hundreds of years, but they will fail to achieve success. Until we reach the stage of re-establishing our lost relation with Krishna, the illusion of accepting the body as the self will prevail, and thus fearfulness will also prevail. As for the validity of Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from revealed scriptures, and there are hundreds and thousands of evidences from personal experiences of devotees in various places like Vrindavan, Navadvip, and Puri. Even in the Kaumudi dictionary, the synonyms of Krishna are given as the son of Yashoda and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. The conclusion is that simply by hearing the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, one can have direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, and thereby one can attain the highest perfection of life by transcending worldly miseries, illusion, and fearfulness. These are practical tests for one who has actually given a submissive hearing to the readings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyam vai shuyamanayam krishna paramapurushe bhaktir utpadyate punsa shokamoha vayapaha. Om Jnanati Nanhasya Dhananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shachiputra Matrasvarupam Rupam Tasya Gujam Guru Purim Matarim Goshtavati Radha Kundam Ganivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Prati Kripaya Shri Gurim Tamyatas Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atapare Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavasa Shri Rupam Sadhajatam Sadhana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare
This is one of many verses within Srimad Bhagavatam glorifying the process of hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. Is that right? Srimad Bhagavatam mentioned in this verse?
Yes.
Where?
Not the previous.
It's in the previous verse. Remember the previous verse? From yesterday? So the Satvata Sanghita referred to here is the Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled The Son of Drona Punished, and that is the main subject matter in terms of number of verses in this chapter. But this section at the beginning of this chapter is bringing to a conclusion the narration which began in the fourth chapter of Vyasadeva's lamentation, and then Narad chastising and instructing Narad, and then further conversation, how Narad tells his life story. And now, at the beginning of this chapter, it brings it all to a conclusion, glorifying the Bhagavatam, how after Narad had left Vyas went into meditation, as instructed by Narad, you know, you're the personality of God, you should know. So you just meditate and think about it, and everything will be revealed to you. So that, as usual, there are so many important words here in this series of verses. And what he saw in meditation. He saw, first of all, Vyasadeva, in his meditation, saw the material. He saw the jiva, who is bewildered by the material energy, although the jiva is by nature transcendental to the three modes of material nature. He thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reaction of material miseries. And that might sound like something very philosophical. Certainly it is, but it is, in a nutshell, what we're doing in this material world. We are identifying with material energy and suffering at the hands of the material energy. And although it's not directly mentioned here, this goes on birth after birth after birth. So it's a very serious situation. And it's not easy to remedy. It's very hard to get out of the illusion of identifying the body as the self. What's the solution to all these anarta, that unwanted thing? Srila Prabhupada, in this word-for-word Prabhupada, translates anarta as things which are superfluous. So that describes the previous verse. All this the jiva identifying himself with his material covering is also superfluous. Anartha pashamam, upashamam, mitigation. Sakshad, that is directly affected, bhakti yoga madhokshaje, by what Srila Prabhupada describes as here and here's the linking process of devotional service. So now we're delinked. We have to relink with adhokshaja. The word is given here, adhokshaja, a very important word. The transcendent, who cannot be seen, as long as we're covered by this material energy. Yasa mohito jiva. Atmanam jivanatmakam paropi manate nyata. What is it? Paropi manate nyatam.
Tatkritam chapi
pasyate. Because he is by nature, the jiva is transcendental to matter, but he identifies with it. But by linking with this supreme transcendence, who is beyond the purview of the material senses, then sakshat, directly, that mitigates all the miseries. Now this, by the process of bhakti yoga, specifically mentioned bhakti yoga, this can be understood in relation to the whole episode of Narada chastising Vyasadeva. That you just made all the Vedic literature. Well, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? If Vyas is supposed to divide all the Vedic literature, and then he made Vedanta Sutra, Mahabharata. But he was chastised by Narada because you did not clearly delineate the transcendent. What is this adhokshaja? And that is described in the verse we're reading today, Krishna. It's Krishna. You didn't directly say that, so you're given different processes, karma, karma yoga, bhakti yoga, dhyana yoga, and there may be so many, ashtanga yoga, raja yoga, kriya yoga, so many yogas, but they don't really yoga, they don't really link us properly. It's something is there. But it doesn't link us directly with adhokshaja. It's meant for that. But the practitioners of these different yoga processes don't even know that it's meant for that. Or even if they do know, they're not so much attracted to Krishna that they want to just completely surrender to him. But Vidvan, Vyasadeva, who knows everything, he made this Sadvata Samhita, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the people who don't know. Lokasya Ajanataha, those who don't know, he made this Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, in this verse, we have Yatsyang, referring to this, specifically. Well, Srila Prabhupada has translated this as Vedic literature, and of course the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literature. So simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, specifically the Bhagavatam, Krishna Parama Purusha Bhaktirupadyate Pumsa Shoka Moha Bhayataha, the miseries that the living entities undergo due to identifying with the body, due to being bewildered by the material energy, that manifests in various forms, lamentation, illusion, fear, and so many other manifestations. But the Srimad, oral reception of Srimad Bhagavatam extinguishes that. It's giving so much importance. So why should we listen to this? And exactly the same question arises, because then we have in the next verse that Vyasadeva revised and he compile the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he taught to his son, Shukadeva. And we may think, well, we're distributing sets of Bhagavatam, so I think, that's a lot to read. Why should I read so much? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, right? That's all you need. Love is all you need. What do you need anything else for? Why should you go through reading all of this? Well, the same question is raised, you'll find 2 days from now in your Bhagavatam class, by Shonakata Sutta. He said that he was already Atmarama. He was already satisfied in himself. Such a big literature, such a huge thing, and this was even without the purpose, it's such a huge thing, because even any verse, you can take it and discuss it and expand it, and Krishna is in every word, in every syllable, and manifesting himself in different ways, in different verses of the Bhagavatam. There's so much to say about every single verse. So why, Shonaka said, why did he take the trouble to undergo this? So much study. Such a big, he's already self-satisfied. And then comes, what's the answer?
Atmaramas
chamunyo nirvanta akyarukrame kravanta haitu king bhaktim
dambhuta guno.
Thank you very much. Even a self-realized person, he's free from that covering of the material, that direct covering of the material energy. So okay, he's free. So he should already be free from shoka, moha, and bhaya, and all these things. Should be free from all of that. But even such a person who's already liberated from the material energy becomes attracted to hear the qualities of Krishna, which means that the qualities of Krishna, they are on the adhokshaja platform. They're not on the platform of the qualities of this material world. The qualities of this material world bind us in this material world, and thus we have to suffer illusion, lamentation, fear, and so many other manifestations of separation from Krishna, so many manifestations of distress in this material world, because of identifying with the material world and the love within it. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to the verse we're reading today, that love is often used in relation with man and woman, and it's also used in relation with mother and child. It's also used in relation to master and dog. It's also used in relation to ice cream. Russian also, I found out when I was actually speaking on this. I was quoting this verse and quoting how everyone's looking for love, and I asked, do you say in Russian also that you love ice cream? Yes. So it's misused, but actual love means love of Krishna. And what is so special about Krishna that I'm going to read so many books? I can just do some pranayama and I can get self-realized, right? And go to some new age yoga course and meditate for a few minutes and become self-realized. What do I need all this for? Itam bhuta guno hari. Such wonderful qualities of Krishna attract even the Atmarama, even the great sages. And there are many instances. Shukdev is a prime example. And often the four Kumaras are given as examples. And there are many others also. The sages in the forest of Dandakaranya, they saw the beautiful form of Lord Ram, and they thought, we want to be his lover. You can maybe, just like we say to placate the feminists, whoops. Well, sometimes we say that, actually, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the Radha is supreme, right? It's a woman. She's on top, all in all. Well, in Dandakaranya, there were men attracted to Rama, and they wanted to become women. There you go. You can use that in your modern preaching. So they had to take another birth to do so. We kill all of them. They had to take another birth to do so, and they took transcendental bodies in the transcendental land of Vrindavan to relate with the transcendental qualities of Krishna, who is not different from Lord Rama. This is a fully spiritual relationship. They were attracted by the qualities of Rama, his beauty, and of course Rama is such a personality that his reputation goes before him. There's a saying in English, reputation goes before. An example of that is Madhavendra Puri, whose reputation went before him to Puri. He ran away from Ramuna so that he wouldn't be praised for being a great devotee, but his reputations reached before he even reached there. So Krishna's qualities are so attractive that it's really worth studying the Bhagavatam. It's really worth hearing the Bhagavatam, because it's better than ice cream, better than chocolate, and it's better even than your pet dog. And sorry to say, but it's better than your wife. Or your husband. Because that the material relationship is the cause of lamentation, fear, and illusion. And it shouldn't seem like that. I love someone, and it seems like it should be a cause of happiness. And everyone thinks it's a cause of happiness. And there is some happiness there, no doubt. Otherwise, why would people get involved in it? But it's the happiness of a drop of water in a desert. Now you have a little experience of 42 Celsius temperature, so you can begin to relate to this. Otherwise, living in England, you can't understand this. But if you go in the desert in India, not many people go in the desert because it's a desert and there's not much there. But if you go in Bikaner side, Rajasthan, in the hot season, it'll be 42 just in Delhi. But then in the desert, it'll be 50 more. So you can imagine what it's like. Here the Coca-Cola sales must have increased dramatically in the last week, right? They ran out of stock. And ice, they had to produce ice. So, when you can feel in that heat, you don't buy Coca-Cola, you just want to put a pipe in your mouth and just leave it on, just continue. So if you're in the desert, and you're so dry, and someone comes running up and says, don't worry, I'm bringing you some water, put out your tongue, and they put a drop of water. So you can't say it's not water, but it doesn't satisfy you. So in the same way, a drop of water in the desert, that's what material happiness is compared to. What is that? What is that verse? Bindubari sama. What is it? Tatala saikate bindubari sam. Sutamita. Sutamita ramani samajama. That's it. Between us. In the desert, in the heat, you get some water, a drop of water. What is that? The happiness of, in the language of the Bhagavatam, Sri Aishwarya Prajapsava, the family, aristocracy, and all the things that go with that. Well, you may not have aristocracy, but at least have a little council house. Is that council house in England? Still have some substantial salt in one off. No. Of course, there are plenty of people right out there who just live in a cardboard box. And I guess for them, that's home sweet home. But generally, people aspire to live with home, wife, children, and all this kind of thing. And that's why it's, some people consider it a national disgrace for this great country that there are people sleeping in or under cardboard boxes all over Britain every night, or something like cardboard boxes. Because they should at least have a roof over their head. And if they're on the street, then they usually means they don't have a friend in the world. Who's going to love you? Who's going to marry you? If you have living on the street, it's a miserable situation. But the Bhagavatam, beginning with all the yoga literature, Buddhism, they all teach that what we think of as a happy life in this material world, that is simply an illusion of happiness that we have to remove ourselves from in order to achieve real happiness. So Shukdev, he'd done that. He was homeless, didn't even have any clothes, didn't have a father or mother. That was voluntary. His home, he lived for 16 years in a filthy place full of stool and urine, voluntarily. What was that place? His mother's womb. He didn't want to come out. He said, this is better than being outside. Being in here is better than being outside. All that maya outside. You better be in this room. And his father's Vyasadeva. He was in maya, right? He didn't compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was talking about all this karma kanda and jnana kanda. Householder. So, at Vyasadeva's request, Krishna came and said, please come out. And he came out, left home. And the Vyasa said, well, at least stay so I can take your Brahmin, give you a thread. He was off. And his father was lamented, following behind him. So he was completely self-realized. He had no interest in family life, no interest in even wearing any clothes, which might not matter so much in the climate of India. It does get cold in the winter, but it doesn't matter so much from the point of view of feeling comfortable. But people do feel uncomfortable if they're not clothed, right? Most people would feel uncomfortable. That's one kind of punishment, to be paraded naked. But Shukadev didn't have any of that kind of discomfort, because he had no mental discomfort, because he didn't identify with the body or what anyone thought of him. That is called Atmaram. He was simply taking pleasure in himself. But he became attracted to hearing the message of Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam here states that everyone can get the same result. Even if we are not on the platform of Shukdev, by hearing the Bhagavatam, even if we are attached, which almost everyone is, we will become detached from all of that which covers our natural linking relationship with Krishna, that will be automatically removed, and we don't even notice it being removed, because the sages, they go to so much trouble to be free from material illusion, but simply by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it directly links us with Krishna, we jump over all these processes and become linked with Krishna by hearing about him. This is the, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, is telling us why we should read it. It's the inside cover flap, which tells you in brief, gives you an idea what's in the book and why we should read it. So it's all there. We use that sometimes on book distribution. Show what it's all about, what the book is about, and what you will get from reading it. So here we have at the beginning of the Bhagavatam that this will bring us to the highest perfection of life, will actually make us happy, will link us with Krishna. One has to be very advanced to take interest in such subject matters, as we've already heard in the fifth chapter, that generally people are interested in literature which is called Vyasamtirtham, a pilgrimage place for crows. what a pilgrimage place for crows. Where do crows go on pilgrimage? You see all the pilgrims walking along there or flying. They all fly together, where all the garbage is thrown. You don't see that so much here, I guess. But in India, notwithstanding the, what's that called? Bharat Swachh Abhiyan, the movement to make India clean, there are still piles of garbage in the cities, rotting and smelling. And the crows are there. They love it. The swans are there. The swans are on the lakes of clear water. The Paramahamsas look for the Bhagavatam. And the crows, they go to the dirty, filthy places. So other literature is compared to stinking, rotting garbage. And Narad spoke this in relation to Vyasadeva's previous compilation of so many literatures. It's really a heavy comment. It's really a heavy condemnation. Krishna said so more politely in the Bhagavad Gita. What's that verse? The Vedas are comprised of three modes of material nature. The Vedas mostly concerned with the subject of three modes of material nature. Yes. Forget all that. And Narada says it more graphically. It's just a bunch of rubbish, stinking rubbish. And let's hear about Krishna. Let's hear about Krishna. And there's so many verses in the Bhagavatam itself which recommend hearing about Krishna. And the verse after the Vyasamtirtha, Jugupsitam. It's really, what are you doing with all this literature? It's like putting out some pornographic magazine or something. So, Vyasa says, what am I supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? That's given in the verse which we'll read tomorrow. Sasanghitam Bhagavatim Kritvanukramya Chatmajam. Yeah, he compiled the Bhagavatam. It just says in brief, but in the verse which, you know the next verse, right? Tadvag after
the Sargo, Yasmin Pratishlokam Abhudya Vatyapi Namananta Seshon Kitaniya Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti
Sadhava. Those who are Sadhava. Srila Prabhupada translates here Sadhava as purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purified men who are thoroughly honest, they take pleasure in hearing about the unlimited transcendental qualities of the unlimited transcendental person, even if they are not properly composed. Because in Sanskrit it's very important to compose things properly, because if you just get something a little wrong, it can be very wrong, as we find in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, in the was that Twashta was making that invocation that there should be an enemy. There should be an enemy of Indra, but because he got the intonation of the rhyme came out of he of whom Indra is the enemy. In other words, it gives the idea that instead of the demon being produced will kill Indra, Indra will kill the enemy. So you just have to get it just right. Otherwise, it can be very wrong. But here, Narada says that even if imperfectly composed, that literature which glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. In other words, it's not exactly the grammatical composition which is the important thing, but it's Krishna who is the subject, and who should be heard about, sung about, and accepted. And that will be by purified men who are thoroughly honest. And not only the sadhavas, not only the saintly people will take pleasure in that, because we have that at the beginning of the Bhagavatam also, don't we? That this is the meant for the saintly people. What's that at the beginning of Bhagavatam? Second verse?
Dharma
projita kaitava paramo nirmatsaram satam. That gives the idea of the paramahamsa, people who are fully free from enviousness. And that gives us a clue. What's the problem with love in this material world? Well, one problem is that it's temporary. Another problem is it's always mixed up with envy. Jai Ukraine. Right? We all like Ukraine. We don't like Russia, right? Freedom. Yellow and blue flag. So yeah, we love the Ukrainians and we hate the Russians. There you go. Love in the material world. We love one party and we hate the others. We love England. We don't like all these foreigners invading us. So like this. It's love and hate. There's one interesting thing. I'm going all over the place here in my talk. Srila Prabhupada writes about the politicians. The politicians want a peaceful situation between man and nations. Do you think that's true? Politicians want a peaceful situation between men and nations?
No.
It might have been true when Prabhupada was writing this in the case of Pandit Nehru, who was the Prime Minister of India, and he was in the non-aligned movement and he didn't want any violence. It might have been true. He had some kind of idealism. Of course, by his non-violence, it didn't work. He had to Sardar Patel send in the troops to take over Goa and this and that. And you know it's all Indian history, and why should you be interested in that? But Nehru's non-violence, and in the meantime, the Chinese invade India, and he's wondering what's going on. But he had the idea, let's all be nice with each other, and we'll sit and have conferences, and we'll sort it out. But in the meantime, the Chinese, they have the art of war, and they're more practical. Okay, you can have your conferences, and in the meantime, we're going to invade you. And what are you going to do? They didn't know what to do. So it won't work. This idea of love without knowledge of transcendence will not work. Because love in the material world always has the flip side of envy. Srila Prabhupada wrote that in one of his early Back to Godhead magazines. What's the time?
8:30.
No, the time limit.
Between 8:30 and 9.
The Srila Prabhupada, he wrote that in one of his early Back to Godhead magazines, which he was publishing during the Second World War. And he quoted some politician as stating that we want to get free from the frenzy of war, because there was 1944, 1945, and the people of the Western world were fed up with the war. They've been fighting, and some people coming back dead, and they were fed up. They realized they'd gone to war in a frenzy. Yeah, let's go to war, let's fight them, let's smash them. And after a few years, they're fed up. And how can we be free from the frenzy of hate? That's it, from the frenzy of hate. Some politician has said the frenzy of hate drives us to war. And Prabhupada said, yes, it's very good, we should get free from the frenzy of war, but to do that, we also have to get free from the frenzy of love, by which you can look it up in the database, the frenzy of love, by which we identify with our bodies and our neighbors and our friends and our relatives and our country, and we hate others. Ayam neja paroviti garana laghu chetasa. What's the next line? And the fourth line is Udara charitam something or other. Vasudeva kosa. Yeah. So someone of very limited outlook thinks me, and mine. And one of broad outlook thinks everyone in the world, they're all my relatives. We're all here together. So, the frenzy of love always goes on with the frenzy of hate. You never get free from it. United Nations, Prabhupada always knows this United Nations. They're always having more and more flags. That means they're becoming disunited. Becoming more and more disunited. What to do? The world is such a mess. These people are realizing it nowadays. Should be a good time for preaching. So what to do? What to do? What you can do is you can kick out your prime minister and bring in a rishi. But simply having the name rishi won't make him a rishi. It doesn't make him a rishi. Does he know what to do to rectify the situation in the world? And people think that, the last prime minister, he was a nonsense, but we'll bring in someone new and he'll solve all of it. All the parties, they say, vote for me. And people go, they should know after voting for someone who failed them, and then someone else who failed them, that someone else coming along and saying, vote for me, I'll solve all your problems, make America great again. And what was Biden's election slogan? Don't know. Did he have one? He had a black woman running with him, and the anti-Trumpism was enough to carry him through. But they have so many slogans. All the way with LBJ. You don't remember that? And then when Nixon was running, they said, "Would you trust this man enough to buy a used car from him?" He still voted in him. Look what happened. Anyway, the politicians, they're so stupid. People think, yeah, it was terrible under the last, but we'll vote for this one and then it'll be all right. And what does it say? And here we have it right in the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, Kamasya Nindriya Priti, in that verse. Yeah, Prabhupada writes in the purport that people, they vote for the politicians, thinking the politicians will fulfill their sense gratification, but then they become disappointed because the politicians cannot satisfy them. And then they vote for someone else and they think it will work. What do we do? It's time for a revolution!
Hey.
What's that verse? Tat bhag visargo janata
viplavaha.
It's written in Sanskrit, so people can't understand it. This is a subversive group in the heart of London, preparing bombs to drop all over. No one even notices because they're time bombs. The time is just getting right. People to take advantage of these time bombs. There have been thousands and thousands of them surreptitiously going out. They see dancing in the streets, they think, oh, bunch of lunatics. Anyway, they're happy. What does it matter? In the meantime, they're hearing the holy name, and that penetrates through the covering of Maya, and these books are going out. And it's going to create a revolution. It is creating a revolution. It's already created a revolution in your life, and my life, and all of yours' lives. But it's actually meant for bringing in the golden age of Lord Chaitanya by these books, distributing these books. So what can I say? Just keep on doing it. Any way you're going to do it. What I have to tell you all. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. Bhagavatam. Now we're thinking of big bombs. Right? Prabhupada gave that analogy that the temple is not a place for eating and sleeping, but a base from which the warriors go out and drop bombs. So the bombs are the books. Now we're getting into the big bomb mode. We used to talk about distributing lots of Bhagavad Gitas. And now we're waking up to the fact that, there you go, dropping a bomb. Now we're waking up to the fact that we can distribute Bhagavatam. And whatever about Bhagavatam, you've got to take it seriously. You have 18 books. It's a heavy thing in every sense. It's a heavy thing. They have that in your head. And Srila Prabhupada specifically wrote these books, and he wanted it with the Sanskrit, original Sanskrit, what do you call that? Lippi? Alphabet? Writing. Okay, original Sanskrit writing. And then the transliteration with data critical marks, word for word translation, then the verse translation, and extensive purports. Anyone who opens this and takes just 1 minute to read this can understand This is something very, very heavy. Just take the first verse of Bhagavatam. You want to all chant it together? Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadyasya Nito Maya Pitarasa Trasya Vijayasya Tene Brahma Nidhaya Nidhaya Nidhaya
Bhagavanti Atsurya Tejo Rai Nidham Yata Vinyaro Yatra Chisarga Dhamna Svena Sadhani Rasa Tavavam Satyam Param Dhimahi. Translation. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. So the whole Bhagavatam elaborates on this first verse. Placed into illusion as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. The average person who you distribute these books to won't have a clue what all that means. But they can at least understand there's something profound here. This is not a comic book. This is heavy. This is on a platform that we couldn't even imagine existed. This is not believe in me or you go to hell kind of stuff. This is knowledge from a different sphere altogether. So, we should distribute these books and do Harinam and Jashri Prasadam, have festivals and wake people up enough so they can start to read these books, Bhagavatam. Now all these years we've been doing Gita, and we should continue. But now we should also add to our arsenal the mass distribution of Bhagavatam. I just got an email from Vaisheshika Prabhu saying that they're aiming within a few years to distribute 100,000 Bhagavatam sets every Bhadra month.
A lot.
Okay, let's go for it and do more. When the devotees first started distributing big books, the others were shocked. I distributed 3 Krishna books today. The devotees were shocked. And it can be done. And then they got up to some of I did 10 today. Unbelievable. You just do 10 Krishna books in one day. And it just went on increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. The ocean of bliss is increasing and increasing and increasing. So let's increase. Think huge. Distribute huge numbers of books. And establish our national communities so that all the people who read these books can be sheltered from this nasty civilization and they can be in a proper atmosphere to study these books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I thought I would stay all my life here. Distribute books in London, but I didn't. So we were doing. Thank you. Any question?
Consider
considering that Krishna says Traigunya Vishaya Veda, does it mean that Krishna does not consider the Srimad Bhagavatam as part of the Veda?
This Traigunya Vishaya. Well, when Krishna says that see Srila Prabhupada's translation says that the Vedas mostly deal with three modes of material nature.
But Krishna doesn't say that.
And well, if yeah, literally. The subject literally means the subject of the Vedas is the three modes. But then later in Gita we also get more clarification on what the three modes are. What is that verse, chapter 7, text 13, just before the deviation of Gunamaya? What is that verse?
Tribir
Gunamaya Bhavaya. And then Krishna says, I am beyond the three modes. Aham Sarvasya Bhagavaha. Everything is generated from me. Everything comes from. So the three modes are to be understood in relation to Krishna. So we'll find Vaishnava Acharyas insisting that all the Vedas are only about Krishna. And it's right there. In the, where's that from? Padma Purana, Veda, Ramayana, Chaiva, Purana, Arate, Tata, Adavante, Vajeta, Hari Saravatra Vyata. In all the Vedas, Ramayana, Mahabharata, everything, only Hari is glorified. And Krishna says, Trigunya Vish. So, how is this to be understood? Then it's a perspective, generally people see it like that, and it from the, what we could say is the, what was that term Bhakti Spencer used? There's the Vidvad Rudhi and the Agya Rudhi. From the perspective of people who don't know, the Vedas appear to be dealing mostly with the three modes of material nature. Vidvad Rudhi, you can understand it all deals with Krishna. But because that wasn't clearly enough delineated, therefore Narada chastised Vyas. And you'll find Krishna explained everywhere. Mahabharata, we find again and again, Krishna, he's the supreme. Narayana, this Veda Ramayana, this comes at the end of Mahabharata. It appears that the main subject matter is politics, social organization, so much Bhishma Dev's instructions. So to make that completely clear, the Bhagavatam needed to be compiled. So we have to. That's a mistake that the Mayavadis made. Right? They take certain verses and they take it absolutely literally according to their understanding without seeing the whole body. Ekaha advitiyam. There is one and no second. So then he's writing the Vedas. Then you have to see the whole body. And that can also mean that Krishna is the one of whom there's no other like him. So there are apparently contradictory statements in the Shastra, and that is why there are the Acharyas give clarifications and whole systems of understanding, and that's called Shastra Yukti, harmonizing statements, so that the proper meaning can be understood. And it's also in that way so that demoniac people can go on the wrong path. Krishna's in their heart. You get what you want. There's a verse from the Stotra Ratna quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita that he's obviously Krishna's God, but the Naivasura, how is that verse? From Yamuna Acharya. You're also tired. Anyone? It's obvious that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. Prabhupada quotes it in his Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita commentary also. Anyway, the purport is that Krishna is obviously the Supreme. It's in all the Shastras. It's confirmed by all the great personalities. But people of demoniac disposition, they don't recognize. Look it up, you can find it. Naivasura, look that up. That's what's the first one? Naivasura.
First
line of the fourth verse. In the meantime, is the third line. Tvam Shila
Rupacharitai.
Tvam Shila Rupacharitai Parama Prakrishtai. Everything about you, your personality, your character, your form, is of the topmost excellence. Tvam Shila Rupacharitai Parama Prakrishtai.
Sadvena
Sadvikataya Prabalaista Shastraya. And this is strongly emphasized in all the Shastras, especially the Shastras which are meant for persons in the Sattva Guna. Prakata Daiva Paramata Vidam Mataischa. And those who are learned in Shastra, and who are situated on the spiritual platform, they can see all this clearly. But Naivasura Prakataya Prabhavanti Bodham. But those who are of demoniac outlook, they can't see it at all. And that's an elaboration on the Maya Aparita Jnana. The person may be very learned in the Shastra, but they're covered by illusion because Asuram Bhavavashas are they're demoniac nature. So they can't see Krishna. And so you have to distribute the books and do Harinam and distribute Prasadam. And that will change people. That will help them to be free from their demoniac nature. And then they can start to take interest in reading these books and studying them and becoming purified. Yeah, so you're going to ask some? Are you going to ask some? Are you going to ask something? No. No.
Maharaja, when we talk to people that we distribute books to, sometimes they comment that, oh yeah, the books are right. I mean, they show interest for spirituality, and then they take books. Sometimes we meet them, and in my experience, many times they say, oh well, they are a bit repetitive, kind of same things are repeated, and then, all right. I try to explain to them kind of, okay, it has to be because we are forgetful. And like, so how can we further kind of motivate them to kind of overcome that and read books, Prabhupada's books?
You can tell them that these books are very deep and that although there's repetition, that's true, but the subject matter is very important and it should be studied from... It's not exactly repetition. It's seen from slightly different angles, and that is necessary to thoroughly understand the subject matter. These books are not comic books, tell them. These books are meant for serious study, they're not for entertainment. You can ask him when you were studying calculus at school, did they just write it on the board and okay, that's it, finished? You have to repeat and go through it until you understand it. Well, you may give different equations to it. It's not exactly the same equation to show it. If they study calculus and so on. You can say algebra also if you like. You know, you just write by writing A plus C squared equals D squared. You don't immediately understand all the implications. So it's like that. Hare Krishna, all guys in my way, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Tanachaka Krishna Maharaj ki
jai. Make one announcement. Hare Krishna. It's a great fortune that we have His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj here with us. We have His association and we can obviously associate with Him through His talks which He has been giving for several decades now. We have collected them all in an app. It's called Bhaktivedanta Swami app. We'll hand out these cards to you which have QR codes through which you can get the app for your Google phone or Apple phone, iPad. It has about 7,000 talks on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishnu Sahasranam. There are conversations and there are seminars on different topics. You can search topics, you can search verses, you get the lectures on the verses, you can sort the lectures, you can check lectures on different shastras, which Maharaj has spoken about. And you can track your sadhana, how much you're hearing each day, every week, every month. So there are a whole lot of features inside the app. You can also share the lectures with your friends. So please get these cards and please download the app and please hear from Maharaj the different lectures that he has given. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. So there's also a book table just outside with Maharaj's books. See that table, please see the books and please get the books and Maharaj will sign the books. Which you'll get today. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.